Welcome, everyone. We're diving deep today into insurance ethics, specifically looking at it through a Wisconsin lens.
That's right.
We've pulled together quite a bit of material sources looking at what it really means to sell insurance ethically here.
Yeah.
Our mission really is to pull out the key stuff, the insights you need without, you know, getting totally overwhelmed. And maybe find a few surprising facts along the way.
Exactly. And it really boils down to trust, doesn't it? Insurance, I mean.
Trust. How so?
Well, it's fundamentally a promise, right? A
yes.
promise about the future.
Oh, yes.
It's a contract based on utmost good faith.
Because you can't touch it. You can't see the product.
Precisely. It's intangible. And the real test, that often doesn't come until there's a claim, maybe years down the road.
So ethics is the foundation.
It's the absolute bedrock. We're going to explore where trust operates, the potential pitfalls, and what resources are out there to keep that foundation strong.
Okay, let's jump right in there. Why is trust so fundamental? It's not like buying, say, a toaster. You're buying that promise.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge leap of faith for the client. And that faith, it's not just between the agent and the client.
Oh, what other levels are there?
Well, there's that direct client-agent trust, obviously. But then there's the trust between you, the agent, and the carriers, the insurance companies you represent.
Okay.
And bigger picture, the public needs to trust the whole industry.
The industry itself.
Yeah, to operate fairly. And finally, trust in the regulations, the rules that oversee everything.
Because it's interconnected.
Absolutely. Yeah. If trust breaks down at any one of those points, well, the consequences ripple outwards. It hits individual relationships, sure, but also the public's view of the entire profession.
Hmm. I read somewhere that low-trust industries often face more regulation.
That's often the case. Hmm. More scrutiny, higher cost to operate. So, yeah, a breakdown isn't just personal. It affects everyone.
Wider implications for the whole insurance world.
Exactly. Ethical lapses can start a domino effect. Careers, company reputations, even people's willingness to buy insurance at all. That's why getting this right consistently is just vital for a healthy industry.
Which brings us to those tricky situations. It's not always black and white, is it? Those ethical dilemmas.
Rarely simple. And that's where having a structured approach, a kind of framework, can really help navigate those gray areas.
Okay, a framework. Like a process.
Yeah, think of it as a five-step compass. First, you've got to clearly identify the ethical issue. What's the conflict here?
Like honesty versus maybe what the client wants.
Exactly. Or maybe your duty to the carrier versus the client's immediate situation. Pinpointing that core tension is step one.
Makes sense. Identify the problem first. What's next?
Step two. Gather information. All the relevant facts. Be a bit of a detective.
Okay.
Look at the policy details, the application, the carrier's own rules. What about Wisconsin regulations? Anything apply. The more facts you have, the clearer things become.
Due diligence. Get the full picture. Step three.
Third, you brainstorm alternatives. What are all the possible paths you could take?
Right.
And for each path, think about the ethical consequences,
yeah.
Short-term, long-term, what could happen?
Weighing the choices and their impact. Okay, step four.
Step four is decision time. Based on your analysis, the info, the alternatives, you choose the path you believe is the most ethically sound.
Making a call.
And the last step.
Finally, step five. Reflect. This is crucial for learning. What happened? What was the outcome?
Look back on it.
Yeah. What did you learn? This reflection helps hone your ethical judgment for next time. Maybe even keep a journal. It can be really powerful.
That's a very practical framework. Can we maybe walk through an example, make it more concrete?
Absolutely. Let's say an agent finds out a life insurance policy was approved by mistake.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The client provided accurate medical history, but based on underwriting rules, it should have been declined. The carrier missed it. Policies in force. Client has no idea.
Wow, that's a tough spot. Okay, using the framework. Right. Step one, identify the issue. It's honesty versus the client maybe losing coverage they thought they had versus the carrier's rules.
Okay, clear conflict.
Step two, gather info. Review the application again. Check the carrier's underwriting guides, their process for rescission canceling a policy, and check Wisconsin rules on rescission.
Get all the details straight.
Step three, consider alternatives. Ignore it. Tell only the carrier or talk openly with the client. Each has big ethical implications. Honesty, trust, rules.
So what's likely the most ethical path there?
Well, in that kind of situation, probably the best first step is talking to a supervisor or maybe the compliance folks at the carrier. Confidentially, of course.
Get some internal guidance.
Exactly. Then work out how to handle it. Likely that means being transparent with the client. explaining the error.
Even though that's a difficult conversation.
It is. But then you explore options. Maybe the carrier can offer a different policy, properly underwritten, or help find other coverage. The key is honesty and fairness, even when it's uncomfortable.
Really highlights integrity and communication.
Okay, so having a personal framework is good, but you mentioned regulations. Are there specific Wisconsin rules supporting ethics?
Oh, absolutely. Ethics isn't just personal integrity here. It's beaked into the legal and regulatory framework in Wisconsin.
How so?
Think about licensing. Mandatory licensing, continuing education.
Right, the CE requirements.
And a standard part of that CE ethics training. It ensures everyone has that baseline understanding of their ethical duties under the law.
So it's built in from the start. What else?
Suitability requirements.
Huh.
Especially crucial for things like life insurance and annuities.
Those long-term products.
Exactly. Agents need a reasonable basis to believe their recommendation is actually suitable for that client's specific financial situation, their needs, their goals. It's not just about selling a product, but the right product for them.
Makes total sense for those big financial decisions. And I assume disclosure is big, too. Transparency.
Critical. Absolutely critical for trust. Agents generally have to disclose how they're paid their compensation.
Sure.
Any relationships they have with the carriers they represent. And crucially, all the significant features, benefits, and limitations of the products they're recommending, clients need the full picture.
We hear a lot about a best interest standard now, especially for annuities. What does that involve?
Yes, that's a big shift in consumer protection. Some states, often following the NAIC's model regulation, have moved towards this best interest standard for annuities.
Higher than just suitability.
It is. The core idea is that the agent must act in the client's best financial interest. It's more holistic. Does this recommendation truly serve the client's objectives above all else? It's a higher bar.
Not just suitable, but best.
Got it. Precisely. And supporting all this, robust record-keeping rules in Wisconsin.
Keeping track of everything.
Yep. Agents usually need to keep detailed records, the needs analysis they did, why they recommended that specific product, the disclosures they provided. It's all about documentation, accountability, transparency.
Sounds like a pretty comprehensive system.
Yeah.
Are there specific Wisconsin resources agents can use for guidance if they hit a sticky ethical situation?
Definitely. The Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, OCI, is a key resource.
OCI.
They issue advisory opinions, provide info on consumer complaints, outline standards for market conduct exams. Their website is a goldmine for updates, guidance docs, and they often offer consultation, too.
So you can actually reach out.
Absolutely. Don't hesitate if you're facing an ethical puzzle. Reaching out is smart.
Good to know that support exists.
Yeah.
Now, beyond the laws and regulations, what about professional groups? Do they have their own ethical standards? Maybe even higher ones?
Yes, many do. Lots of professional organizations in insurance have codes of ethics that often go beyond the legal minimums.
Like who?
Groups like NIIFA, the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors, the Society of Financial Service Professionals, MDRT, the Million Dollar Roundtable. They all have pretty robust codes their members pledge to follow, often emphasizing things like putting the client's interest first, maintaining high competence, acting with integrity. Joining can provide really valuable ethical guidance.
A commitment to a higher standard, driven by the profession itself. Okay, we've talked generally, but I imagine ethical issues might look different depending on the product, right? Health versus life versus P&C.
Absolutely. The specifics can get quite nuanced. Health insurance, for example. You're navigating complex regulations, making sure clients understand networks, pre-authorizations, cost sharing. It changes fast.
Right. And life and annuities.
Those long-term contracts, the significant financial trust that brings unique responsibilities around suitability, fee disclosure, long-term performance expectations.
And property and casualty, like home and auto.
There, a big ethical focus is ensuring adequate coverage for specific risks, but also making absolutely sure clients understand the policy limitations and exclusions, what's not covered.
And you mentioned products for seniors earlier.
Yes, that requires heightened ethical awareness, concerns about potential cognitive issues, vulnerability. It's a really important area.
It seems each product type has its own ethical landscape. Okay, let's shift from rules to reality. What are some common ethical challenges you see agents facing day to day?
Yeah, where the rubber meets the road. It's really valuable for any agent to just, you know, pause and reflect sometimes.
Reflect on what specifically?
Think about past situations that felt ethically tricky. What values were pulling you in different directions? What principles did you fall back on? What parts of insurance ethics do you find most challenging in your work? Why?
Identifying personal pressure points.
Exactly. That's the first step to strengthening your ethical muscles.
That's good advice. Yeah. You know, many agents see themselves as both trusted advisors and salespeople. How do those roles balance ethically?
That's the constant tightrope walk, isn't it? Ethically, the advisor role has to come first. Your main job is understanding the client, their needs, situation, goals, and recommending solutions that genuinely help them.
Even if it means less commission sometimes.
Absolutely. It might mean recommending a less lucrative product or even advising against a sale if it's not right for them. The sales part is about communicating the value of those suitable solutions. But the sale can never compromise the advisor duty.
Putting the client first. And a huge part of that is making sure they actually understand what they're buying. Especially the fine print.
Oh, crucial. What steps do you take personally to make sure your clients really get it? The coverage, yes, but also the limitations, the exclusions.
Like what specifically?
Things like policy exclusions, waiting periods, maximum benefit payouts, prescription drug formularies and health plans, deductibles, copays, coinsurance, and is the policy even guaranteed renewable? These are the details that cause problems if they aren't crystal clear up front.
That's a lot of potential confusion points. Let's make a specific example, short-term health plans. They can be cheaper, but less comprehensive than ACA plans. What's the ethical tightrope there?
Perfect example. Imagine someone healthy, needs coverage between jobs. Short-term looks affordable, much cheaper premium than an ACA plan they also qualify for.
Seems like a good option.
Potentially. But the ethical challenge is ensuring they grasp the trade-offs. Lower premium, yes, but maybe huge out-of-pocket costs if something happens. No coverage for pre-existing conditions, perhaps. Fewer essential benefits covered.
So the risk side.
Exactly. You need a thorough, documented conversation comparing the short-term limitations versus the ACA protections. They need to make a truly informed choice, understanding the risks.
Empowering them, not just selling the cheap option. What about agents advising employers on group health plans? Different ethical considerations there.
Yes, definitely. Advising employers brings its own responsibilities. You need to understand their obligations under, say, the ACA. Are they inapplicable? Large employer. What are the rules on affordability, minimum value, potential penalties, reporting?
A lot for the agent to know.
It is. And ethically, you need to provide accurate info, but also know your limits. Don't give legal advice if you're not qualified. Recommending they talk to ERISA counsel. That's often a key ethical step.
Know your boundaries. Involve experts. And the ACA brought us the summary of benefits and coverage, the SBC. What's the agent's ethical role with that document?
The SBC is a vital consumer tool, standardized format to help people compare plans. Ethically, agents shouldn't just hand it over.
More than just a piece of paper.
Right. You need to actively use it. Walk the client through it. Explain the benefits, the cost-sharing deductibles, copays, explain the limitations. Use clear language. Help them compare plans effectively using that tool.
Make it meaningful. Okay, things get complex when families mix public programs, like CHIP or Medicaid waivers, with commercial insurance. What's the ethical play there?
This is where agents can add huge ethical value, helping families navigate that complexity. It requires knowing about state programs, how they coordinate benefits with private plans.
So guiding them through the maze.
Exactly. Ethically, you help them evaluate provider networks across plans, think about continuity of care for ongoing treatments, figure out how things like durable medical equipment or specialty drugs are covered under the different combinations. The goal is optimizing their access and affordability using all available resources.
A really valuable service. Let's take another specific health scenario. Mm-hmm. A family has a child diagnosed with autism. State mandates for coverage might differ based on the plan type, right?
Yes, that highlights the complexity. Wisconsin might mandate certain autism coverage in fully insured plans, but maybe not in self-funded employer plans.
So the agent needs to know the difference.
Crucially, the ethical challenge is first, figure out what type of plan the family has. Then clearly explain the coverage or lack thereof for autism services under that specific plan.
And if it's not covered?
Then the ethical responsibility is to explore other options, state programs, advocacy groups, supplemental coverage. Being transparent about the current plan's limits is paramount.
Being a knowledgeable, honest guide.
Ah.
Okay, let's switch gears from sales to claims. What are the ethical duties when helping clients with the claims process? That's the moment of truth, often.
Absolutely. The carrier handles the claim itself, but the agent is often the client's main support contact during a potentially stressful time.
So what does that involve ethically?
assisting them gather necessary documents, advocating for them if a denial seems wrong based on the policy, explaining the appeals process, suggesting external reviews or regulatory complaints if needed, and keeping detailed records of all claim-related communications. You're a liaison, a support system.
Guide and support. Okay, a tough claim scenario. A client's teenager needs an experimental treatment. Family believes it's their best hope, but coverage is denied. The agent knows both the family and people at the carrier well. Ethical tightrope again?
Huge ethical dilemma there with those dual relationships. You feel for the family, naturally.
Yeah.
But you also have to respect the carrier's process, the policy terms, medical necessity rules.
Can't just side with the family.
Right. Ethically, your role is facilitating clear, respectful communication. Help the family understand why it was denied. Explain the internal appeals process. Maybe connect them with external resources, independent review organizations, patient advocates.
But manage expectations.
Exactly. No false promises. Don't misrepresent the carrier's position. Just provide compassionate support and accurate information during a terrible time for them.
Delicate balance. Okay, another common situation. Small business drops its group health plan. Employees need individual coverage. What are the ethics for the agent helping them transition?
Several ethical layers there. First, you have a duty to both the employer ending the plan and the employees losing coverage. You need to be fair to both.
Tricky.
Second, some employees, maybe with health issues, could face real challenges getting affordable individual coverage. Need sensitivity there, provide realistic guidance.
And privacy.
Huge concern. Discussing individual health needs requires strict confidentiality. And timing is critical, making sure employees know about ACA special enrollment periods and deadlines.
So how do you handle that transition ethically?
Good approaches include group meetings to explain the situation and options generally. Then offer individual consultations for personal questions.
Tailored advice.
Right. Develop clear resources checklists, guides on how to evaluate individual plans, networks, costs, drug coverage, and throughout, maintain confidentiality while giving unbiased advice. Aligning the timeline with enrollment periods is also key to maximize options.
Transparency, education, personalized support. Okay, we talked suitability, especially in health.
Mm-hmm.
But for life and annuities, you mentioned standards evolving beyond just suitable towards best interest.
Yes, that's the trend in many states for life and annuities, moving towards requiring agents to act with reasonable diligence, care, skill, and prudence.
More than just not unsuitable.
Exactly. It requires a deeper dive into the client's whole situation, finances, needs, goals, and recommending something that genuinely serves those interests best. It's a higher standard of care.
Got it. So let's apply that. Common life insurance choice. Term versus permanent. Especially for a younger client, maybe limited income. Ethical considerations.
Very common, yes. Young family, new mortgage, tight budget. Their main need. Usually income replacement if a primary earner dies. Protection first.
Right. Now, maybe they heard permanent life is a good investment. The ethical agent needs to explore term life thoroughly first. It likely provides the most death benefit they need for the lowest premium, addressing that core protection need.
Even if permanent life pays a higher commission.
Even then, permanent life has that cash value piece, yes, but much higher premiums. Could strain the budget, maybe leave them underinsured on the death benefit side. The ethical approach is explaining the differences clearly, the trade-offs, and helping them prioritize protection first.
Client's core need comes first. Now, illustrations those projections for life insurance and annuities. What are the ethical must-dos when presenting those?
Illustrations, especially with non-guaranteed elements, cash values, dividends, interest rates, require extreme care ethically because they aren't guaranteed.
Exactly. You must be crystal clear that non-guaranteed means not guaranteed. Actual results could be very different. You also need to explain all the policy features, riders, the carrier's financial strength, the contestability period, tax implications, how health changes might affect things later. Transparency is everything.
Lots of potential for misunderstanding if not handled carefully. What about replacements? Swapping an old life policy or annuity for a new one? Special ethical flags there.
Huge ethical scrutiny on replacements. For life insurance, does the new policy really offer a significant net benefit? Consider what they might lose, old features, favorable loan provisions, and they get a new surrender charge period, new contestability.
Have to weigh the pros and cons carefully.
Very carefully. Same for annuities. Compare surrender charges, guaranteed rates, current rates, market value adjustments, income rider features, and costs. The core question must be, is this genuinely better for the client's needs, not just generating a new commission?
Driven by client benefit, not agent commission. Okay, what about accessing cash value? Policy loans, reduced paid-up options, ethical considerations.
Need a very frank talk about trade-offs. Policy loans. Explain the interest, how the loan reduces the death benefit and cash value, the risk of the policy lapsing if the loan gets too big.
Big risk there.
Reduced paid-up. Explain it permanently lowers the death benefit, might slow future cash growth. You have to disclose any loss of premium paid, potential liquidity issues, and how these compare to other financial options they might have.
Full understanding of the long-term impact. Now back to those non-guaranteed elements in illustrations. How do you present that complexity ethically?
Context is key. Tailor illustrations to the client's specific situation. Don't use generic ones. Emphasize past performance isn't future guarantee. Show multiple scenarios, not just the current interest rate, maybe a lower one too, to show potential volatility.
Show the range of possibilities.
Right. Explain how low rates might impact things, how policy loans affect projections, the risk of lapse if premiums aren't paid as planned. The goal is realistic expectations, understanding the potential upsides and downsides.
A balanced picture. Fixed indexed annuities are popular but complex. Unique illustration challenges there.
Yes, very much so. Their crediting methods are complex, linked to an index, but with PAPs, participation rates, spreads.
Lots of moving parts.
Exactly. Ethically, you must explain that the index's past performance doesn't predict the annuity's return. Show how the crediting method itself would have performed historically, including the impact of caps and participation rates. Be totally transparent about how it works, how gains are limited, and clearly show the impact of any fees or charges on the net return. No unrealistic projections.
Demystify the mechanics. Step back. What about the ethics of the policy design itself, life or annuity?
Ethical design means structuring it right for the client's needs and means. Is it adequately funded to avoid lapsing? Does it balance death benefit and cash accumulation according to their goals? Is the premium schedule sustainable for them long term?
Making sure it fits.
And recommending the right type of product for the purpose. Income replacement. Legacy planning, retirement income. Different products suit different goals. The ethical agent guides them to the most appropriate fit.
Aligning structure, features, and affordability with the client's goals. Okay, let's revisit that five-step ethical framework again. How does it apply specifically to life and annuity recommendations?
It's a great lens. One, gather info, client's situation, goals, product details, carrier strength, regulations, and your own compensation to spot conflicts.
Be aware of potential conflicts.
Absolutely. Two, identify ethical issues, conflicts. Is it truly suitable or just minimally compliant? Full disclosure happening.
Yeah.
Three, consider ethical standards, utilitarian greatest good, duty-based obligations, virtue ethics. What would the ideal ethical pro do?
Different ethical viewpoints.
Four, evaluate alternatives, other products, different features, other carriers maybe.
Explore all options.
Five, make the recommendation. Explain why. Disclose limitations. Document everything thoroughly, including client understanding. Plan for follow-up.
Structured, thoughtful, client-focused. Let's tackle some complex life annuity case studies. What about a senior client showing some signs of cognitive decline?
Very sensitive. Say an 80-year-old wants a complex annuity. You notice memory lapses, some confusion. Their supportive adult child is sometimes present.
What's the ethical path?
Balance autonomy with protection. Schedule extra meetings to ensure understanding. Suggest involving the trusted child in all discussions with client's permission. Document your observations objectively, no diagnosing. Maybe suggest they talk to another advisor or elder law attorney first.
Extra caution and safeguards.
And maybe recommend simpler, more liquid options if you have serious concerns about their ability to give truly informed consent for something complex.
Prioritize well-being. Okay, another tough one. Recommending a deferred annuity mainly for legacy planning. Ethical considerations.
Huge need for transparency there. Deferred annuities often have long surrender periods. If they die during deferral, the death benefit might not be the full premium paid or the most efficient way to pass wealth.
So potential downsides for legacy.
Right. You must explain those limitations clearly. Lack of liquidity. How the death benefit actually works. Explore alternatives. Maybe life insurance is a better fit for that specific legacy goal. Consider their whole estate plan. And document that they understand the risks of using this tool for that primary goal.
Ensure they grasp the trade-offs, explore other strategies. As agents work with clients long-term, what are ongoing ethical practices for life and annuity business?
High ethical standards over time require consistency. Have a process for periodic policy reviews. Do they still fit the client's evolving needs? Keep striving for that balance. Thorough explanation without overwhelming jargon. Engage in self-reflection. Pursue ongoing ethics education. Use compliance resources when unsure.
Continuous learning, reviews, clear communication. Okay, let's pivot to property and casualty P&C ethics. Home, auto, business insurance. Different risks, different ethical challenges.
Definitely. P&C protects against different potential losses, so the ethical considerations shift focus somewhat. Key areas include full disclosure of limitations, what's not covered, ensuring coverage adequacy, claims handling support, premium pricing ethics, addressing coverage gaps, handling specialized risks, and building those long-term trust-based relationships.
Foundation of trust is the same, but the issues differ. Let's start with disclosing limitations. Why is that so critical in P&C?
Because P&C policies can be complex, full of jargon. Clients often focus on price, not the nitty-gritty details. So the agent has a huge ethical duty to make sure they understand what's covered and what's excluded.
Avoid nasty surprises at claim time.
Exactly. Failing to explain key exclusions can lead to financial hardship and destroy trust when a loss happens that they thought was covered.
What are some common exclusions agents really need to highlight?
Oh, lots. Flood or earthquake in standard homeowners usually needs a separate policy. Certain business interruption causes, wear and tear, limits on specific valuables, exclusions for certain home-based business activities.
Things people might assume are covered.
Right. Any exclusion related to a likely risk that contradicts common assumptions, applies to new assets or activities, causes frequent disputes, or is a change from a prior policy, those need explicit explanation and documentation.
Not just a passing mention.
Absolutely not. Ethical practice means a documented conversation. Explain it simply. Answer questions. Get acknowledgement they understand. Document discussions about optional coverages they declined too. Shows you informed them.
Proactive communication. Thorough documentation. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about coverage adequacy in P&C? Getting the amounts right. Mm-hmm. Medical responsibilities there.
Huge responsibility. For property, discuss value thoroughly. Architecture, materials, construction costs, unique features, access for rebuilding. For businesses, building, equipment, inventory, business interruption exposure.
More than just a quick estimate.
Definitely. Explain things like coinsurance clauses and commercial policies and the penalties for being underinsured.
And different valuation methods, like cost estimators versus appraisals. Ethical considerations.
Yes. Explain the pros and cons. Cost estimators or square foot methods might miss the mark for unique older homes. Ethically, explain those limits. Maybe recommend a professional appraisal for accuracy. Explain replacement cost versus actual cash value coverage, too.
Tailored advice again. And liability coverage. Recommending limits.
Needs careful assessment of exposure, personal assets for individuals, business operations, products, customer interactions for companies, contractual requirements for limits, legal environment.
Lots to consider.
Ethical discussion involves presenting options including umbrella or excess liability for extra layers. Help them understand how different levels work, the costs. Guide a cost-benefit analysis. Don't just push the highest limits or the bare minimum required. Inform decision based on their risk tolerance and finances.
Help them understand the stakes and protection levels. Okay, premiums. Ethical considerations around P&C pricing.
Transparency is key. Explain the rating factors. Location, protective devices, age condition for personal lines. For commercial, class codes, experience mods, schedule rating, exposure base, loss control, market conditions.
Explain how the price is set.
Right. And ethically, explain how their claims history impacts future premiums, rate increases, loss of discounts. Proactively identify all discounts they do qualify for.
What about when premiums go up due to things like credit-based insurance scores?
Sensitive area. Ethically, you need to explain why it happened. Discuss options, maybe improving the score over time. Explore other carriers or coverage options, being clear about any coverage trade-offs. Be transparent and empathetic.
Context and solutions. And place in coverage, standard market, non-standard. Ethical factors and choosing carriers.
Explain the differences between markets, why you're recommending a specific one. Be transparent about the carrier's financial stability ratings, complaint index, claims reputation. Clearly highlight any significant coverage differences between quotes. Explain if a quote is subject to further underwriting, inspections, etc.
Holistic carrier assessment, not just price. Now, coverage gaps. Even with good planning, they can happen. Ethical duty there.
Absolutely. Proactively identify potential gaps and discuss options. Home-based businesses are a classic example. Standard homeowners often limits business coverage.
So point out the vulnerabilities.
Yes. Explain exposures like product liability, business property, income loss, customer injury liability, present options endorsements, standalone policies. Document the discussion and their decisions. Same for other specialized risks. And ethically, explain why disclosing prior losses is material to underwriting.
Proactive risk assessment, clear communication, offering solutions. Let's apply the five-step framework one last time for P&C.
Works here too. 1. Gather info, client operations, exposures, policy details, carrier guidelines. 2. Identify ethical issues under insurance, inadequate disclosure, conflicts of interest.
Spot the dilemmas.
3. Consider ethical standards, utilitarian, duty-based virtue ethics. 4. Evaluate alternatives, different coverages, limits, risk management strategies beyond insurance.
Look at all angles.
5. Make recommendation. Explain rationale. Disclose limitations. Document process and client understanding. Set follow-up review timeline.
Consistent, structured approach. Okay, a P&C case study. Longtime client casually mentions installing a wood-burning stove in their cabin. Doesn't realize it's an insurance issue. What's the ethical move?
Clear ethical duty there. Even if the client is unaware, the agent knows this can impact their homeowner's policy. Potential premium increase, safety requirements, maybe even coverage exclusion if undisclosed.
So you have to speak up.
Absolutely. Ethically, you reach out, explain the potential implications, guide them on notifying the carrier and understanding any coverage or premium changes. Ignoring it risks a denied claim later and breaches trust.
Proactive and informative. Finally, ongoing P&C ethical practices. What should agents consistently do?
Maintain high standards requires ongoing effort. Have a solid process for property valuations and liability limit recommendations. Balance client budgets with professional assessment of needs. Explain risks of underinsurance. Proactively address significant uninsured exposures you find. Have a plan for explaining claim outcomes when client expectations differ from policy language. And critically, regular policy reviews and meticulous documentation of everything.
Vigilance, responsible balancing, clear communication. Okay, let's transition to a really important area. Ethics in serving senior clients. We touched on it, but it deserves focused attention.
Absolutely. Serving seniors demands extra ethical sensitivity, potential cognitive decline, increased vulnerability to financial exploitation, the complexity of senior-specific products. It requires heightened awareness.
Extra care needed. What signs might indicate diminished capacity in a senior client, and what are the ethical responses?
Recognizing potential signs is key. Personality changes, difficulty following conversations, trouble articulating needs, unrealistic expectations about products, unusual reliance on a new person.
Red flags.
Yes. Ethical responses. Schedule follow-up meetings. Suggest involving trusted family with permission. Document observations objectively don't diagnose. Carefully consider if proceeding with a complex transaction is ethical if you doubt their full understanding.
Maybe pause or suggest simpler options.
Exactly. Or suggest consulting their doctor. Or involve internal compliance for guidance. Heightened awareness and caution are crucial.
What about communication ethics, specifically with seniors?
Patience and clarity are paramount. Use simple, straightforward language. Avoid jargon. Take extra time. Encourage questions. Listen carefully. Be mindful of potential hearing vision issues. Use large fonts, clear layouts. Set realistic expectations about what policies cover, especially things like basic Medicare limitations.
Clear, patient, respectful, accessible communication. Okay, Medicare supplements, Medigap, common for seniors. Ethical considerations there.
Focus squarely on suitability. Does the plan fit their finances, their health needs, travel patterns? Disclosure is also key. Explain plan standardization, pre-existing condition rules, foreign travel limits,
and guaranteed issue rights.
Critically important. Ethically, you must educate eligible clients about their Medigap guaranteed issue rights during initial enrollment. It's crucial protection. And don't oversell minor perks at the expense of explaining core medical coverage.
Suitability, rights, core coverage clarity. What about Medicare Advantage plans? Different ethics.
Yes. Need to explain network limits, referral rules, how costs and coverage can change annually. Explain cost-sharing copays versus coinsurance, max out-of-pocket, prescription drug tiers and costs.
And lock-in periods.
Definitely. Explain the limited times they can switch plans. And any recommendation to replace existing coverage must be clearly in their best interest, with full disclosure of changes in cost, coverage, and access.
Full education on the structure and limits. Life insurance needs change for seniors. Ethical needs analysis for them.
Adapt the focus. Less income replacement, maybe more final expenses, legacy planning, state liquidity, business succession, debt payoff, charitable giving, maybe long-term care funding via hybrid policies, or income for a surviving spouse.
Different goals.
Right. Ethical assessment identifies the specific purpose. Determine appropriate face amount. Consider affordability on fixed income. Assess existing coverage. Explore alternatives. For final expenses, discuss realistic costs. Evaluate existing resources. Explore guaranteed simplified issue options. Consider budget impact. Align coverage with need and budget.
Tailored to their life stage and goals. Underwriting for seniors. Ethical points.
Can be complex due to health issues. Ethically, provide realistic expectations about underwriting. Explain different issue types, fully underwritten, simplified, guaranteed, and how health impacts premiums or eligibility. Clearly explain premium options, waiting periods, tax treatment. Be sensitive discussing health questions.
Realistic guidance, sensitive approach. Long-term care, a huge risk. Ethics around LTCI and asset protection planning.
Paramount importance here. For LTCI, ethically explain benefit triggers, elimination periods, benefit periods, care settings. Discuss affordability now and potentially later, inflation impact. Different types, traditional, hybrid, shared care, how it fits their retirement plan. Provide written comparisons, discuss risks of delaying.
Lots to cover. And Medicaid planning.
Tread carefully. Explain Medicaid limits. Clarify you're not giving legal advice. Strongly recommend an elder law attorney for asset transfer Medicaid specifics. Focus insurance discussion on how LTCI provides more choice and control than relying on Medicaid.
Clear boundaries, insurance advice versus legal advice.
Exactly. And for asset-based LTC, life annuity riders, discuss opportunity costs, present multiple options, explain withdrawal surrender tax impacts, compare traditional LTCI, document the why behind your recommendation.
Comprehensive, balanced, careful advice. Sadly, senior financial exploitation is common. Agents' role in prevention recognition.
Agents often have a unique view, putting them in a key position. Know the red flags. Sudden policy loan surrenders, disbursements to new accounts, new people involved, unusual interest in cash values, big strategy changes, new reps exerting influence.
Warning signs.
If you see them, ethically, you must follow company protocols for documenting and reporting concerns internally or to authorities. Vigilance is key.
Be alert. Report concerns. Okay, an ethical challenge. Recommending replacing a 7-year surrender annuity for a 75-year-old. What questions should the agent ask?
Raises immediate red flags. Is a 7-year lockup appropriate at 75? What's the clear benefit of the new annuity that outweighs losing liquidity and paying surrender charges? Do they fully understand the new terms, new charges? Why do they want to replace it? Are there better, less restrictive options? Needs very careful, objective analysis focused on their well-being and liquidity. Replacement might well not be in their best interest.
Deep dive into suitability and client well-being. Marketing to seniors needs care, too. Ethical do's and don'ts for senior seminars.
Those. Genuinely educate and empower. Present balanced info. Avoid fear tactics. Clearly separate education from promotion. Respect attendees' intelligence. Provide substantive, readable materials. Be transparent about follow-up. Avoid high pressure. Respect no. Provide value regardless. Document communication.
And don'ts.
Don'ts. Misrepresent it as purely educational if it's a sales pitch. Focus only on one product. Use scare tactics. Collect info deceptively. Aggressive follow-up.
Education over pressure. What about ads and direct mail to seniors?
High ethical bar. Clear, simple language. No misleading statements. Balanced info. Pros and cons. Readable font size. Prominent disclosures. No fear, high pressure. Clear sender purpose. Honor opt-outs. No deceptive tactics. Respect contact frequency. Provide value. Ensure websites are accessible.
Clarity, respect, truthfulness. Given the complexities, should agents serving seniors get specialized training or credentials?
Highly recommended. Designations like CSA, Certified Senior Advisor, CLTC, Certified in Long-Term Care, RICP, CASL, specific Medicare certs, they provide valuable in-depth knowledge.
What about ongoing education topics?
Focus on cognitive aging, elder financial abuse, government benefit rules, Medicare, Medicaid, tax issues for seniors, estate planning basics, senior living options. It all helps serve this population ethically and competently.
Specialized knowledge for better service. Collaboration with other professionals seems key, too. Ethics around that.
Building a network, elder law attorneys, geriatric care managers, tax pros, senior resources, advocacy groups is smart. Ethical referrals mean knowing your limits, recommend qualified people, follow up, maintain boundaries on your scope, collaborate effectively, document referrals.
Recognize limits, work together. Finally, it's good agents aren't alone with tough ethical calls. Where can they get help?
Crucial point. You're not alone. Many agencies' carriers have internal compliance departments or ethics officers for confidential guidance. Professional associations often have ethics hotlines or advisory services for members. Don't hesitate to use these resources when you're unsure. Seeking guidance is ethical practice.
That's incredibly valuable to know. This has really been quite the deep dive. Comprehensive look at ethics in the Wisconsin insurance world.
It really has. And it underscores that high ethical standards aren't just about rules. They're the bedrock of trust.
Building that sustainable business.
Exactly. It creates long-term value for clients, giving them that protection and peace of mind, and for your own professional reputation and the industry's integrity here.
So it's not a one-and-done thing. It's an ongoing commitment.
Precisely. Continuous attention, thoughtful reflection.
Yeah.
We hope you, the listener, see today's discussion not as the end, but a starting point. For your own learning, your own reflection on your practices.
Keep exploring.
Yeah, explore the resources mentioned. Look for more professional development in ethics. Talk about these things with colleagues, mentors.
So as you think about all this, maybe consider this final thought.
Yeah.
How can consistently upholding the highest ethical standards in everything you do not only protect your clients and your career, but also help build a more positive, more respected insurance industry overall? Right here in our Wisconsin community.